the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian.
Good morning. Good morning, young lady.
We were on a great conversation before the show. Why? I don't even know if we should even say it. We were just having a great time.
That's
so,
right.
Anyway,
I've
so
been
glad
out a couple days. Y'all, I realized how much I missed y'all. So I was cutting up a little bit. So.
Yeah, all those jokes built up inside that you had to say from Friday to Monday, so they're finally out.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Well, we'll open with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the beautiful gifts you've given us. Let us continue to follow your will, and we pray for those who are battling any illnesses, whether it be emotional or physical, and we ask that you continue to guide us each and every day. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Amen. Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Mary MacKillop. I believe I said that right. St. Mary
MacKillop. I'm glad you said it. I was gonna ask Jeff to see if that was correct.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Well, we're gonna have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in your listening area. We'll give you details about. Also, you can send us events absolutely free to our website at ccradio.live under the events tab. There is a submit your event form. I know we're getting into the busy part of the year as far as events go, and that is the fall. So send us as many as you have, and we'll talk about them on Wake Up, and we'll post them on our events calendar on our website. So ccradio.live, events and news, that's where you click. Dr. Stanton McNeely joins us. He's the president of the University of Holy Cross, and he's going to give us an update. But they received a quite honorable award, so he's going to give us details about that. Father Trey Nelson joins Damian in the Baton Rouge studio. He's a pastor at St. Jude the Apostle in Baton Rouge. And he's going to talk about his book called Prayers for the Table and Other Family Blessings, and talk about an upcoming project called The Apple Hasn't Fallen Far from the Tree, Knowledge of the Good and Bad of Technology. So that's going to be such a great conversation, I think, that he's going to be having. And I'm glad he said the good and the bad, because I think that we talk up a lot about the bad of technology. There's a lot of good that comes with it, too. So yeah. I'm glad Father Trey is going to be discussing that. And Katie Zulanis joins us. She is the executive director of Couple to Couple League, and she's going to talk about Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. So big show today, Damian. Lots of great guests and hopefully great weather, too.
Well, it's typical weather this time of year. The pattern continues. Partly cloudy skies in the morning and most of the afternoon, but once in a while a shower is going to pop up. When it does, keep the umbrella or rain jacket handy, and it'll go away after about 20 or 30 minutes in most cases. Winds are out of the southwest. They've picked up a little bit, 10 to 15 miles an hour. So the breeze is good, but it's a warm one. High is going to be close to the 90-92 degree mark, while the lows will be in the upper 70s. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Mobile and New Orleans, 83 degrees. They're warming up rather rapidly. Biloxi, it's 82. Covington, it's 80. And in Houma, Thibodaux, and Baton Rouge, temperatures are 79 degrees. And there you have it. Nothing really big to talk about. Yeah. Let's keep it that way, because we forget, but it's hurricane season. And I hate to bring that word up, but let's just keep praying to Our Lady of Prompt Succor that hurricanes don't come this way this year.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, don't go away. Yeah, we got gospel coming your way with Father Chris Decker. He's going to be reading from Matthew 12, 46 to 50. And we also have Jimmy Sagers giving a reflection here on Wake Up.
A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
There is a natural mystery to motherhood that escapes my grasp, and I believe perhaps the grasp of all men. I have observed this mystery in awe in my wife and married daughters. Its origin lies in the intimate and matchless biological bond that exists during the months they carry their babies. As an aside, this reality adds another layer of horror to abortion. In regard to the Blessed Mother, she had the unique privilege of carrying the incarnate Son of God in her womb. And so biology matters, but it is not everything. And so in today's gospel, Jesus declares that kingship to him is to be achieved on the basis of a new genetic principle. His family is made up of those who do the will of my heavenly Father. In other words, those who are born of the same Father are impelled by the same Spirit as he. Because only this relationship and dynamic impulse can enable anyone to do the will of God. In this way, the Son of Mary is the channel through which we must pass in order to attain God by doing the will of God. In this, Mary is his ideal disciple. Like her son, and to a lesser degree each of us, Mary was called to be like Jesus in emptying out of her very being. Just as Jesus poured out his sonship that it could become ours, so too Mary was called to pour out her motherhood by allowing her son to become the common property of all. She whose soul was pierced as she stood by the cross tirelessly and submissively offered her son and herself for the benefit of Jesus' brethren and her spiritual sons and daughters, namely those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us at the two most important times in our life, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Father Chris Decker, it is 10 after the hour. Good morning, everyone. Tuesday morning, July 19th. So glad you could join Gabby Smith and yours truly, Damian Colano. And here are some of the events taking place. This one's very important. Human trafficking in Southeast Louisiana is a big deal, right, Gabby? Well, yeah. Tomorrow, the Metro chapter of the Knights of Columbus, I know we've touched on this, but I want to bring it up again. They are going to be sponsoring a meeting to speak about human trafficking of children in Southeast Louisiana. The meeting will take place at 7 to 10 in St. Joseph Hall and St. Francis Xavier Church, okay? An assistant U.S. attorney is going to be on hand, as well as a member of the FBI, and they're going to present information about human trafficking in our area and how to prevent it. Parents and students in 8th to 12th grade are invited, and in the CYO are also encouraged to attend, as well as Brother Knights and family members. Seating is limited, so if you do want to participate or would like to go, you have to RSVP, or it'd be best if you did if you don't want to stand up. And you RSVP with Dick Cooper by emailing rwcccnslt@aol.com. I know that's a mouthful, but go to our website and you'll see it. Here's a phone number, pen and paper, jot this down, 252-497-1682. Again, if you want to attend that meeting tomorrow night from 7 to 10 at St. Joseph Hall and St. Francis Xavier Church about human trafficking.
Yeah, I highly recommend attending at least one human trafficking talk. Well, my mother-in-law used to be the director of Respect Life for the Archdiocese, and so I would go to a lot of talks with her and learn a lot about human trafficking in New Orleans and that I-10 corridor, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
LSU football is about to start. The Saints are about to play in New Orleans. We have events that are being brought back. These are big events where you can go and see if this is actually happening when you spot it. You know what I mean? They'll tell you and show you what it looks like, what you can do, the number you can call. This is happening in our area at these events. So we can't pretend that it's not. So I just wanted to say that because football is about to start and the festivals are in New Orleans. So we need to go and be educated on what to look for when we go. And even when we're going to visit New Orleans and the French Quarter, you guys, it's happening there as well. And
yeah,
in the Baton Rouge
area.
You would
think it's more of a private one-on-one, but in often cases, it's group settings. So
yes.
Anyway, speaking of group settings, St. Anselm, they're having their big deal, aren't they?
That's right. The Jewel of Madisonville event will be Saturday, July 30th from 7 to 11 p.m. Some of the highlights for this year's gala and auction will be a patron party from 6 to 7, cocktails, live music, specialty foods, a wine wheel. What does that look like? I want to know.
I guess we ought to ask Lania Alicia.
Bags. live and silent auction. Go to stanselmparish.org for more information. This is such a beautiful part of the North Shore, so highly recommend a great parish as well.
Yeah, and last but not least, Hope and Healing for Catholic Families. It's a 12-week program created to bring hope and healing to those who have experienced the pain and loneliness of a broken marriage. For the newly separated and divorced and those still struggling with the issues many years later, this is a helpful program. It will help get answers to questions, restore hope, and really bring authentic healing to yourself. The fall session begins August 30th. I know it's a long way away. It sounds like it, but it's going to creep up on you. So August 30th at 6:30 in the Liberty at in the library, I should say, at St. Catherine of Siena Catholic Church in Metairie. If you would like more information or want to register, just go to scschurch.com. Okay, scschurch.com. You can learn more about how to survive a divorce and a broken marriage. All right. Well, Gabby, you got a lot more coming your way, including a saint that I'm not too familiar with. How about you?
Yeah, no, I don't know much. We're going to learn more when we come into the break. And Dr. Santa McNeely will be joining us when we come out of the break. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 19th. Today we celebrate St. Mary MacKillop. Born in Melbourne in 1842 to parents who had immigrated from Scotland, Mary grew up in a family that faced constant financial struggles. Drawn to religious life, she couldn't find an existing order of sisters that met her needs. Assisted by her spiritual director, Mary founded a new community, the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Sacred Heart, also known as the Josephite Sisters. Its members were to staff schools, especially for poor children, build orphanages, and do other works of charity. As the congregation grew, so did Mother MacKillop's problems. Charged with disobedience by the Bishop of South Australia, she was briefly excommunicated and 50 of her sisters were dispensed from their vows. Ultimately, the excommunication order was rescinded, and the new order obtained canonical status, which protected it from the local clergy. The Josephite sisters were able to offer social services for Catholics and Protestants alike that few, if any, Australian government agencies could match. They worked among the Aborigines and ministered to unwed mothers. Her congregation was thriving as Mary MacKillop approached the end of her life. She died in 1909 and was canonized in 2010, making her Australia's first saint. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Well, Okay, Damien, this is great news. So the president of the University of Holy Cross, Dr. Stanton McNeely, last week was granted a 5-year contract extension to continue operating the University of Holy Cross in Algiers, which is a 106-year-old Maronite nun institution. And he joins us this morning to give us updates as we get ready for the new school year next month. Dr. Stanton, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Gabby. Grateful to be with you as always.
You know, I was really excited to hear that your contract has been extended because I remember when we first interviewed you when you became the president of the University of Holy Cross. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you, Gabby. It's a wonderful opportunity. I'm humbled by the opportunity and the commission from the Board of Trustees to serve our Maronite Catholic University, to fulfill our mission, to be a prophetic presence in an ever-changing world. It's been a dynamic 3 years, of course, for everyone, and including for us at the University of Holy Cross. And we've done amazing things to fulfill that mission, and I'm very excited about the opportunities ahead for the next 5 years to take our mission even further in living out what we do in education.
Well, it's incredible to see what the last 3 years have done and the courage and leadership that you have taken through that journey as president of the University of Holy Cross. Let's talk about something that's super exciting, I think, for a lot of schools in our country right now. As they begin the new school year next month, this will be the first year in 3 years that the school will be opening without any restrictions, masks, mandates, any kind of COVID restrictions. Do you think that things are kind of getting, quote, back to normal this year?
Yes, Gabby, thanks be to God for that, because it's time mm-hmm. for us to, in order for the University of Holy Cross to do what we do so well, we definitely need the opportunity to have access to our education in all forms. Of course, that includes here on campus too. As I see our campus, I'm excited about what's going to happen next month. I'm looking out on campus right now, and I could tell you, just to, as you asked, Gabby, you know, for students to come to campus, pursue their dreams through our university, experience the personal connection with our faculty and staff, and have a great experience here that lifts their hearts. And a lot of that is done in person. Of course, we do it online as well mm-hmm. For our working adult students, and that has broadened our reach for our university. So now our mission extends further than just the West Bank of New Orleans and just New Orleans general. But for those students that need that in-person experience, it's great to be free of those restrictions, for sure.
Yeah, I know that Loyola University in New Orleans, we'll actually get an update from Father Justin Daffron in a couple of days, but they're starting off, again, no restrictions, and I know with my son's school, I can't even believe to think that last year we had masks in school in August, and just see those little dangling masks on the hook, I'm like, hey, I don't think we don't even need those this year, so it's just amazing. It seems like a lifetime ago. So that's so great to hear that they can go back to a normal year. So let's talk about the national and regional ranking system. You guys have just been climbing, and it's just so good to see this college of distinction for the University of Holy Cross. So tell us about that and how the last 3 years have been.
Well, thank you for that, Gabby. You know, it's really a testament to our staff and faculty living the mission of the university as a Maronite Catholic university, serving everyone and just doing it through our core values of excellence, respect, integrity, inclusion, and compassion and service. You know, true to the Maronites, we definitely want to excel in what we do and how we do it. And so our students are lifted up through their educational experience with us. And the rankings, I think, are an indication of that. If we fulfill our mission to the fullest here at the University of Holy Cross, then, of course, the mm-hmm. indicators like the rankings will show that excellence in what we do. And I'm excited, like we're talking about the next 5 years, I'm very excited about the path ahead in that set of indicators, too. I think by doing the right thing, by mission, the indicators like that from the external perspective, the other indicators like the rankings, will show us to be a shining light for sure.
That's amazing. Well, let's also talk about last year, the University of Holy Cross launched a first of its kind matching program involving TOPS. I have to say, TOPS helped me when I was in college, and I'm very grateful for that scholarship that the state offered. Is that program still in effect? And explain how students can benefit from this.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, Gabby, too, because one of the rankings we did get recognized by Newsweek is one of the top 30 lowest private tuition colleges in the United States. And linked with that, in terms of access for families who want to pursue an education with the University of Holy Cross, is we decided last year to be the first in the state of Louisiana, public or private university, to match TOPS, to double it, like you said, Gabby. And that provides a wonderful pathway for students who qualify for this program to really have so much of their tuition, the vast majority of their tuition, met by the Doubling the TOPS program at the University of Holy Cross. And we've seen tremendous interest in that. We have our first group of freshmen coming in with that program next month, and we think it's going to be a real catapult, if you will, in a positive way, for more students interested in coming to the university. I think including from our Catholic schools, from our Catholic high schools. And so, of course, for all students who qualify for the program in the state, but I think it also gives an added opportunity of access from students who come from higher secondary education who are looking for means to, and including financial aid, to attend the University of Holy Cross. This is a big help.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything helps, of course, when you're paying for your education. But let's also talk about this. So this is also very exciting. You guys still have openings in your brand new state-of-the-art residence hall. Kind of tell us about the new dorm and what that means for students at the beginning of the school year.
Yes, and like you said, Gabby, about being free of the restrictions and masks and so forth, you know, this is a great opportunity, again, for those who are interested in coming to the university to also live on campus. We opened the residence hall, brand-new facility, 21st century all the way, private rooms, and even with shared rooms, private bedrooms, in 2018. And then, of course, we had a little momentum from 2018 and 2019, and then the pandemic happened. We're excited about this opportunity with interest renewing and access renewing and restrictions being lifted so that people can live on campus again. Mm-hmm. It's important, especially for our freshmen and sophomores and younger students, to experience the community, experience the mission on campus through a living experience. And we have a first-rate facility, a top first-class facility, and we invite people, families, to take a look at it. We're the safest campus in Louisiana, too, right here in New Orleans on the West Bank. And so that living experience is a pure joy in so many ways, and I definitely welcome families to look at us. We also have a $1,500 housing scholarship. Got to say that fast, for students who are interested in living on campus, too.
That's great. Yes, I've walked your beautiful campus, and it is quite spectacular right there on the West Bank. And, you know, I know we've been talking about this, and we're going to continue to talk about this. You know, the effects that COVID has had on students, it's really kind of stopped their way of doing things as far as going to a regular, you know, college experience and experiencing that and their academic career, maybe putting it on hold. With COVID numbers kind of being, I guess, controlled, or I don't know what you want to call it, but what are you going to do? Do you expect the numbers at the University of Holy Cross to go on the rise, or how do you look going, how do you see yourself going forward as far as living with COVID?
I think that the University of Holy Cross will develop in three major ways. We are doing this work, and we've done it through COVID, I think, pretty well, very well, given the factors of the pandemic. One is we've expanded our reach with dual enrollment, and that has included schools in the Greater New Orleans region, but also schools outside the Greater New Orleans region, linking to what you just mentioned about housing, to expose students in high school to the University of Holy Cross so they can look to us for the on-campus experience as undergraduates. And we've expanded as far as to Ascension Catholic High School, to St. Patrick's in Biloxi, and others. And so we've grown that way, and I think we'll continue to grow that way with other affiliation agreements with high schools to give those students a jump start for their experience here at the University of Holy Cross as freshmen. The other thing, of course, is we've grown for the working adult. We've grown our online programs, particularly in mental health counseling. So the flip side of the pandemic is that those students who are working full-time, looking for a master's degree or a doctorate in a professional field like business, education, or counseling, they've done so, and we've grown that way, and we'll continue to do that. But the main thing is, coming out of the pandemic, is the campus now. And for our undergraduate students, just like your previous questions, Gabby, is that we're blessed now that the pandemic is, like you said, at least controlled, and that gives us the flexibility and opportunity to have a flourishing on-campus experience for especially our younger students pursuing the bachelor's degrees.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, great news overall from the University of Holy Cross. Dr. Stanton, where can we go to find out more information on UHC?
You can go to our website at uhcno.edu. And thank you, as always, Gabby. Very grateful to be with you.
Absolutely. Looking forward to getting some more updates from you, and congratulations as well. Looking forward to the next 5 years.
Thank you. We're excited.
Great. Wonderful. Such great news from the University of Holy Cross. We have such great universities in our area, and it's so great to hear from these wonderful people. I'm looking forward also to get updates from Loyola University New Orleans as they start their semester in a few weeks as well. But overall, great news, Damien. I'm excited for those who are starting their year off.
Oh, you're right.
At these universities.
I think we can pretty much, COVID's still around, but I don't think it's impacting us like it was. Thankful. And, you know, the healing physician is the good Lord anyway. So that's who we need to rely on and pray to make sure we stay healthy along the way, and that these things can continue to happen as far as opening up all the campuses again. And Holy Cross is a hidden gem in the New Orleans area as far as campuses go and colleges go.
Yeah, maybe take a trip out there. But it's absolutely beautiful. So absolutely, I 100% agree with you. Damien, also, Father Trey Nelson joins us as we come back from the break from St. Jude the Apostle in Baton Rouge. It's half past the hour on Wake Up.
Alrighty, we're back, 35 after the hour on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back to Wake Up, Damien Collado along with Gabby Smith. And in the studio right now, live and direct, Father Trey Nelson. He is the pastor of St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. And he's also my priest and pastor. And he's here to talk about prayers for the table and other family blessings, a book he's written a while back. Believe it or not, it's being republished. And you said it's going to try to be ready by Advent, huh?
For Advent, right, correct.
Yeah. So tell us about the book, because Prayers for the Table and Other Family Blessings, I can remember saying grace around the table, but that's about the extent of it.
Right. Well, you know, like a lot of Louisiana families, for my family, the table was the center of our life, the table at home, the table at church. The table I have in the rectory, my dad actually built when I was like 15. And I have it because I'm the only one that has space for it. And my dad loved Thanksgiving. He loved any time we came together at the table. So when he died in 2001, kind of as a tribute to him, I just started writing this book. And basically what it is, it's about 40 or 50 prayers before the meal for pretty much any occasion you can imagine.
Uh-huh.
Your night in your first home, a birthday meal, an anniversary meal, and of course the holidays and whatnot. And because a lot of people are comfortable praying spontaneously, but a lot of people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you get together at the table to pray, it's like a lot of times you automatically kind of go right into bless us, O Lord, and these are, which is fine. But this was designed to help make the occasion more personal and more memorable.
Nice.
And so even like, for example, when you lose someone you love. Don't laugh, but you still got to eat.
Well, that's right. No, but it's funny you said that, because most of the funerals, after you go, you do go celebrate the person's life.
Yeah, right.
A lot of times at home at a restaurant.
And people are bringing food.
And you don't know how to pray.
Right. And the difference with this edition of the book is, of course, we've had the pandemic, right? Because this was done in 2001, the first book. So how do you pray? What do you say, like, if you're alone or if it's just you and your spouse or you can't go anywhere and so on? And so it's just meant to be a tool to help people be more comfortable with praying. And like my family, when we get together, all my siblings have their copy of the book from 20 years ago.
Wow.
And what they'll do now is say, we were together the last time was for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So we stand around that same table, all 30 of us, and they give the book to my niece, who's like five, my great niece. And she reads the prayer. It's just the coolest thing in the world. You're passing that tradition on.
Nice. I was going to say, it becomes more of a tradition.
Right.
And prayer's important.
Yeah.
You know? And
we don't slow down enough. A lot of people don't have the meal together enough. And when they do have the meal, it's not a judgment. It's just sometimes they just jump right into praying.
Yeah.
You know, I was at lunch a few months ago with one of our guys who goes to LSU, and the food came to the table, and without even hesitating, he surprised me. Pleasantly, he just reached out across the table and took my hand, and I thought he was high-fiving me because the food had arrived, you know. But he just took my hand and he just started saying a little prayer, and I thought, well, that is the neatest thing. I'm sure he got that from his parents, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all about tradition.
Do you think people are still apprehensive about praying in public?
I think, I'm not, I could be wrong, but I think a lot of people, majority of people, they're like, hey, don't call on me to do it. Maybe I'm wrong, but yeah.
They just feel like the spontaneity of things puts them on edge.
Exactly. You're in front of
your brain
people.
Goes blank.
Right. And so these are designed to be personal as well.
You know. Very good. You're also working on another book. I like the title of this, by the way. The Apple Hasn't Fallen Far from the Tree, Knowledge of the Good and Bad of Technology.
Right.
Okay, I'm thinking two things. Not only technology, but apple and tree and the word knowledge. I'm thinking, okay, the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Okay, is it?
Yeah, that's what inspired, well, what really inspired it was my nephew, who's 15 now, and I spent a good bit of time with him this summer so far. And, you know, like so many people, young and old, he's got his phone with him everywhere he goes. Mm-hmm. And he's just watching benign stuff like baseball, golf. But when he's doing that, what that means is we're not talking. And the more I was around that, I'm like, you know, there's just got to be something. I really wanted just a message I wanted to say. I could be totally wrong about a lot of things, but it was just important to me to do it. And last year I'd given a couple of classes on the Old Testament and just the power of the symbolism and the creation story. The tree itself, the knowledge of good and evil, and then the fruit, which is sometimes called the apple, in and of themselves in the story were not bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the choice that was bad.
There you go.
You know, misuse of the gift. So technology, in my office, I jokingly say to my staff, I don't hate technology, but I do hate technology, but I don't, you know.
Yeah.
It's just because technology, we all know, it in itself, it's one of the greatest gifts ever. But when it gets out of balance and you have the misuse of it and whatnot, and it owns you and you don't own it, relationships deteriorate, your relationship with God, with your family, and so on. And so this is in manuscript form right now. I just sat down and started writing. I got about 6 or 8 chapters written already. And it covers anything from, you know, explanation of the story in Genesis and connecting it to everyday life. There's a chapter devoted to how social media can be a good instrument to hide behind when you need to talk to someone face to face. Some people go that route instead, and that's not good. And I haven't been this fired up about something in a long, long time.
So yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Well, I remember years ago, and before you even came to St. Jude Church and went to hear you speak on communication and clutter. And we've talked about that off and on in the past. I think the technology aspect is very good from a learning aspect. It enhances learning, our technology does. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I find it also cocoons people. You can also, and I believe COVID really put a damper on that, and really people got consumed with the only social aspect of the world and the environment they were living in, and that was the phone. And we're seeing the poor aspects of it 2 years later.
They relied on that. They leaned on that. They retreated into that. It was a tough time for all of us.
Yeah. Are you looking into that as far as how technology affected us?
Oh, exactly. In terms of how does it affect anxiety levels, especially among children?
Yeah.
You know? If you read the last 10 years, the number of anxiety and depression is a real thing, right? And it has to be dealt with. But the percentage of young people who are being clinically diagnosed continues to increase, you know. And just if you read the statistics and the studies that are done by credible groups, it talks about how does overuse of this contribute to anything from anxiety to even high blood pressure. Who would have ever thought we'd have been reading about hypertension and high blood pressure in the lives of teenagers, because
it was unheard of.
But it's proposed to be a side effect of an overuse, overdependence on your phone, for example.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, where do you see technology going, especially from a spiritual formation aspect, and how can we use it to our advantage?
Well, I'm not gonna lie to you. I start every day with it.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer time in the morning, one of the first things I do is, you know, after I've made the coffee and let the dog out and all that, I'll look at the readings for the day for Mass. And for the longest time, I would use my phone and I would read those visually. Well, now I've been for a while now, I go to the USCCB, the bishop's website, and you can listen to the readings of the day. And, you know, when I'm preparing for Mass, just hearing the words spoken, mm-hmm. you know, often help me. So I think it can be used, you know, you see a lot of people with their phones during Mass and they're not messing around, they're following the readings, you know. So it can be used to enhance the prayer life. It can also drive a wedge between us and others. So I would just, it's all about balance, Damien. It's all about balance. It's about keeping a sense of the Sabbath in your life, which in this country we've almost completely lost.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I'm sorry to say time's already up, but I want you to leave us with a blessing if you can.
Sure. Okay, sure. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day, for the privilege to be here and to spread your word. We ask that you continue to bless all the efforts of Catholic Community Radio. We pray, too, that you help all of us to keep balance in our lives. Never let the gifts like technology overcome us. May they do nothing but to serve to connect us more closely with you and with each other. And we ask you to bless all of us this day, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, good luck with the book. If they want to get a copy of it order it, where do they go?
The prayer book will be ready for Advent. All they got to do is contact St. Jude Church here in Baton Rouge.
St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. Billy Francione, your sidekick. At least say hello, Billy, just so everybody knows you were here.
Hello, everybody. I just got up in the morning to have a cup of coffee with Catholic Community Radio.
Well, wonderful. Thanks for joining us. Billy's got only a year to go in the diaconate program. We got more. It's 45 after on Wake Up.
So much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damien Collado. Our next guest is Katie Zulanis. She is the executive director of Couple to Couple League. And today we're going to talk about NFP Awareness Week. That's Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. Good morning, Katie. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Gabby. Hi, Damien. It's wonderful to be with you.
It's great to have you with us today. You know, my eyes were opened when I learned a little bit more about what natural family planning was and charting your cycle, getting to know your body. And it's quite interesting now, more and more people are taking it to social media. And I don't know if it's a form of natural family planning, but it's very similar. And I'm like, hey, we were doing this a long time and now it's kind of become a trend. So tell us a little bit more about this wonderful week and how we can become more educated in NFP.
Sure. It's a fun week coming up. We're personally calling it National Fun Planning Week in our office. But it's really, there's going to be a lot of resources out. USCCB, your parish's diocese will have different programs. I know a lot of people are going to be on social media, like you said. Just have fun videos or interviews or different resources for people to kind of learn more about natural family planning, which you're right. More than 150 million women have downloaded the fertility apps. And we're the cool kids on the block after 50 years of people going, oh, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because with the influencers that I see on social media, they're charting their cycles and they're all excited because they're like, look at this, what I've seen. And, you know, I turned to my husband and I said, well, if this has become a trend, this is a very good trend. So tell our listeners a little bit more about what you do at Couple to Couple League.
Sure. So you're right. We're delighted with the trend toward all natural has finally hit this. It's great because our mission is to give women and men, you know, access to good scientifically based training for fertility awareness. And we have this in both English and Spanish. In fact, we're very excited for this week to be updating our flagship product for Spanish, Know Your Fertility. It's our newest one. And also introduced classes for postpartum and perimenopause in Spanish. So as a woman, I would say in the United States, I'm underserved because people always, you know, every doctor I've gone to has wanted to treat my fertility like a disease. And so it's delightful to have, as you said, you know, natural family planning allows you to know and learn your fertility, pardon me, and work with it. And even more so for Hispanic brothers and sisters, you know, they're delighted when they learn that there's something else they can do. And they can, you know, we have people in our classes that, you know, are getting off an IUD, getting off the pill, and they're like, how come nobody told me about this? So it's delightful for us to provide not only that great scientifically based training from years of experience and studies, but also to be there to support women and men, you know, as they live out an NFP lifestyle is what we like to call it.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, this was, I don't know, maybe sometime in the spring, maybe in the winter. Time seems to go by quicker than I thought. But what I'm about to say, Damian, I know I'm going to see your face, but the pill for men, yes, I said it correctly, the pill for men. So there's a pill for women and the pill for men. Women were outraged to see the ingredients of the pill for men because it wasn't as, I don't know, toxic, or the ingredients weren't as harmful as what women in the pill are taking. And I thought to myself, women should be outraged to see this because it is a harmful pill and it's a Band-Aid. It's not safe for you, you know, until you see the ingredients and until people get off of it, you know. And so this is, I think, just a beautiful way to get to know your body, to know what's going on. So I'm so glad that you have an awareness week to kind of talk about it. And this is the world that we're living in. So, you know, to see this coming out, and there's articles coming out. So you also talk about the harmful effects of the pill and how what we can do as women to kind of be brave and maybe learn a little bit more about our natural cycle and what we can do to maybe prevent pregnancy or say, hey, I'm ready. Let's go and have a baby as well.
Right. You know, so as we all know, like one of the things like we approach it, I always say, like, sex leads to babies. And, you know, when you put your hand in the hand of God, you know, as part of his co-creator to create a new eternal soul, that's nothing to be fooling around with. And, you know, people want to be responsible. Our society keeps teaching them, you know, hey, we have, you know, you can, you know, take this pill or do this birth control and you know, you're going to be responsible. But the truth is, to be honest, they all have a failure rate or failure to do what you're thinking. And, you know, we acknowledge that, you know, pregnancy is, you know, the outcome, you know, of procreation. So you've got, you know, you deal with that up front. These other ones, a lot of times it's dangerous, right, because you mislead people. You don't tell them the truth. And so they end up getting pregnant. Some people get abortions. They feel like it's, you know, that it's not their fault. So overall in society in general, it's very dangerous. It's nothing to fool with. We take it very seriously. And we want to really give you confidence and understanding of your fertility. But we also want you to understand that it's both used to achieve and avoid or postpone pregnancy in family planning. It's a serious subject, and it deserves to be dealt with, you know, in a wonderful way that has great resources for women to, you know, feel confident. And, you know, it's startling to us, but men's fertility has decreased 50% in the past 40 years. That's startling. A lot of people, you know, have this birth control mentality that they've been brought up with through no fault of their own society. And then they end up and they decide to get pregnant, and they find out, like you said, maybe there's some harmful side effects from having messed up their cycle for so long or used a device or whatever. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, now what do I do? So, you know, we really do bring that awareness of fertility right up front.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people who have gotten off the pill and realized the harm that it's done for them. And now they want to get pregnant and they're struggling to as well. So NFP Awareness Week is July 24th through the 30th. There are specialized courses for postpartum women. I did want to put that out there because we are running out of time. In premenopausal women, the postpartum women section, I think, is so important. So many women go through that. I think more than we think, more than we know. And I think it's important to highlight that so we can be there if we go through that and experience that, that we're not alone and we can band together and say, you know, I'm here for you as well. So Katie Zulanis, Executive Director of Couple to Couple League, where can we go to find out more information about NFP Awareness Week and these new classes that are launching in Spanish?
Sure. So the easiest place to go is CCLI.org, Couple to Couple League International.org, so CCLI.org. And from there you can get to, we have, you know, any of our classes, English and Spanish. And then we also have a new Fertility Science Institute that will allow you to have, go into our directory, find help for, you know, doctors and educators in all methods of fertility awareness, mm-hmm. and also a method matcher that does the same, you know, tries to figure out which one's maybe the best for you at this stage in your life.
Awesome. Katie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to continue this discussion tomorrow with Teresa Kenny, so stay with us. Great show, Damien.
All right. Let's say a prayer to St. Anne, our grandmother, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, St. Anne, you are our spiritual grandmother. We come to you today asking for you to pray for us to see God's goodness in our life just the way that it is. It is easy for us to forget about the blessings that do exist in our life while we pray for another one. It is easy for us to forget about the beauty that does exist in our life while we focus on what is lacking. Please continue to pray for us. St. Anne, amen. Father, Son, amen. Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.